This is Mark Steiner right here on the Mark Steiner Show that is brought to you in part by MeQ, Baltimore's credit union. Offering a full range of financial services, MeQ, Baltimore's credit union, is helping its members and its community prosper for the last 80 years. When you invest in yourself, MeQ invests in you. Remember, it's a credit union, not just a bank. It belongs to you. Money comes back in the end. More information at www.mecu.com or at steinershow.org is MeQ, Baltimore Credit Union's banner. Well, Chauncey Whitehead is in the house, and what does that mean? Of course, it means that it must be coming up to that Druid Hill Park walk.
Good morning, Baltimore, and happy holidays. And yes, it's that time of the month and that time of the year.
There we go.
Time of the year.
And he's being joined by Sean Reed, who is part of Men of a Certain Age, which focuses on healthy eating and cooking, a children's book author, and more. And Sean, welcome to the program. Good to have you with us.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here.
And we have Janice Shepherd with us as well. She's the Community Walk of Macon, Georgia, which was inspired by Chauncey and Miss Ernestine's walks here in Baltimore. And Janice, welcome. Good to have you with us as well.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
Great to have you here. I like Macon. It's a nice town.
Good morning, Janice, and good morning, Sean. Yeah, Macon is a nice town. We're going to have to get a trip to go down
there. No, we'll have to make a Macon walk.
Yeah, we're going to have to bring the Baltimore walk to Macon. But wait a minute.
Maryland
Sean isn't even in a better area. Sean, tell us what the temperature is today down there.
I don't want to know.
Well, it's a cloudy 72.
So, Janice, I think we all need to go down there with Sean and walk with him.
Oh, wow.
So, well, what's the temperature in Macon?
It's about 35.
Oh, whoa.
Whoa. All right. Yeah,
it was 70 on Sunday.
I think it's unanimous. We go down to walk with Sean.
So talk a bit about, before you talk about the walk, talk about why you've invited Sean and Janice with us and what's happening around the country here.
Well, the main reason I invited Sean and Janice is because, you know, Mark, I love fitness and wellness. And as a fitness activist, I try to get the community involved in their own wellness and fitness.
Right.
At the beginning of the year, I told you that one of my missions was men of a certain age. Men of a certain age, over 40, over 50, to take their wellness and fitness back. And I invited Sean because Sean is an individual that likes to cook. He likes to cook, but he also likes to cook healthy. And he likes to lead some of our friends and colleagues that still cook in the same tradition of old school Big Mama way to have some healthier choices. Janice, because she is my fitness sister and she follows Ma Ernestine and I, and you know we are going into our 41st consecutive
44th, I thought.
Monthly, 41st.
41st
consecutive monthly walk. And she and her group of walkers in Macon, Georgia decided to get together and walk weekly. And we also have,
weekly,
we have another individual in Lansing, Michigan that decided based on our community health walks and talks to create a walk too. So it's all about health and fitness initiatives.
So on our way to talk to Sean, Janice, tell us a bit about the walk you're doing down there. I mean, where do you do it? How is it being organized? And what do you do? How far do you walk?
We walk about three to 4 miles in the middle Georgia area, down either downtown Georgia or in the southern part of, if you're down here, it's a particular area on Houston Road. And it was definitely inspired by Chauncey and Miss Ernestine. She came down here a couple years ago and did a fitness festival that they had, and she was sharing her walk, and I see the walk on Facebook, and I see all the posts. And I just was, after talking to her and getting to know her and Mr. Chauncey, I was like, I have to do that down here with her. And then when she adopted me into her fitness family, I just felt like all the things I do in fitness, the least I could do is follow her footsteps. If I can't do nothing else, I can follow their footsteps and do that for the community also.
I love that.
Wow, that's an impact. Thank you, Janice. That's all we're trying to do is just get everybody to live healthy.
The next member on the country here is very important. I mean, I'm not surprised because you've had people come in from out of Baltimore.
Yes, we've had people fly in from Chicago, Milwaukee, Lansing, Dallas, and Houston.
So, you know.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's been amazing.
It's been amazing.
So, Sean, tell me a bit about what you're doing here with your healthy healthy eating and cooking, the men of a certain age.
Well, one of the things that I do is I try to incorporate grilling, broiling, boiling, and baking. versus you know, frying anything. And every now and then, you know, I may saute something on a flash fry. is kind of what I call it. But I try to stick to making sure I get protein early in the day,
uh-huh.
and that I use a lot of whole and natural grains and use some alternative things to just like regular oatmeal. I'll do chia seeds soaked in almond milk with a little honey, set it in the fridge overnight, and then add some fresh fruit to it in the morning. And it's a nice chilled breakfast that's really good for you. And very low in saturated fat and very low in carbs and still give you that energy boost that you need to get through your day.
So, yeah, and I do some frying, but the frying I usually do is in olive oil.
Mm. Yes, that's the only oil.
It's
only,
you know, like if I have these small salmon fillets I get from my man, then they put them frozen right on the in the pan or on the grill, turn them a bit, and you're ready to roll.
Well, you know, cooking and eating is very important, and it's funny, Sean, because Sean and some of his other friends on Facebook, Mark, they post their pictures of the different foods that they cook, and Sean usually posts his, the healthier choice, but we need to add Mark Steiner to that too, Sean, because he likes to cook, and
oh,
he
yes.
can take some pictures, and we can get him on there with your good friend back home in Toledo, Ohio, Albert Earl, Mick.
Oh yeah, I do love cooking. We just made the other weekend. What did I make? I made a turkey sausage, kale potato soup, which is really good.
Mm.
Okay.
Mm. And you know, and one of the other things about Sean is he's a former athlete. And as we tend to age, men of a certain age, you know, when I was on the program in January, I was talking about men need to still move. We may not be able to do some of the things that we did when we were 25 years old.
That's the truth.
But that's why, you know, I think it's important for individuals like Sean to encourage men of a certain age to eat a little bit healthier. And Sean, also expand on some of the different fitness and exercises that you're doing since you can't run up and down the court anymore, but he still has a beautiful jumper. But, you know, tell us what you do.
Well, you know, I'm that guy that I kind of figure there's no excuse. I've had a total of 11 athletic surgeries, and most recently I had my left hip replaced.
Wow.
With a total total unit replacement. And it was an hour and a half surgery that ended up taking 6 hours once he got in there and saw how bad it was. And so I do, right now I'm training with the Tough Mudder kind of obstacle course training. So, you know, I'm doing 5 100-yard sprints coupled with pull-ups, you know, with basically a high-impact workout, and just trying to make sure that I focus on all body muscle groups and working those groups in unison like they would be engaged during some type of athletic event. As a former college and professional basketball player, of course I can't run up and down the court like I used to. I can't jump as high as I used to and do some of those things. But there's still no excuse to not get out and do things. Even on my off days, I get a Wednesday and I get a Sunday off every week. But even on that day, you know, my wife and I will do a mile and a half, 2 mile walk just to get out and still be active, even on an off day.
And
the final thing
walking.
I want to say is I always encourage people that I think we sit too much. And when I came
yes.
back from the hip replacement, I had a standing desk in the office. And to this day, I maintain a standing desk. So I stand all day when I'm at my desk. I do not sit.
Yeah, we are a sitting culture, which is a real problem, which is a real issue,
big
I
time.
Think, right?
Big time. And Sean said something about, you know, the standing. We burn calories when we stand. And I know Janice, I peek in sometimes on her Facebook. I stalk her page, and I see how she gets a lot of her members in her classes to participate in Zumba and just to move. And as Sean said, there's no excuse. Wouldn't you agree, Janice, if you can breathe, if you can move, then you can do something?
Yes, I definitely agree with that. And just to piggyback off of what you guys are saying, even if it's just walking, and that's why the walk is so beautiful, because unless you have some type of really medical issue and the doctor says you cannot walk, everyone can walk. And if you're just walking, starting from your house door to the porch, to the down the steps, to the end of the corner, you're moving. And I think that's the beauty of just being able to just walk. And from what the gentleman said, having a when I sat in the office, I had to stand up and walk around a lot, because sitting down, it'll cause some different issues in your body. So I think that's really important to make sure that you're just moving.
And folks, do join us here at 410-319-8888. We want to hear about your activities yourself, how you like to keep yourself moving, what do you do to keep moving, even if you are incapacitated in some way. And talk a bit about how you may have changed your diet and what you think about that at 410-319-8888. And if you join Chauncey's Walks on Saturday mornings once a month for the 41st month, join us again, 410-319-8888.
Absolutely. Please call in, because don't wait until the beginning of the new year. This weekend here in Baltimore, we're actually going to have a pretty nice weekend. It's going to be 45 to 50 degrees.
The weatherman's
so,
back.
You know, I always give the temperature, 45 to 50 degrees. So it's going to be two beautiful days on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day to get out and take a walk before you partake in some of those different activities. Mara Ernestine, of course, could not be here today, but she wanted me to send her love to everyone. Happy holidays to all the radio listeners, and a special shout out to our permanent partners. Of course, Mark Rhonda is on vacation, so she couldn't be here. The Baltimore City Cancer Program, located at the University of Maryland, Marlene and Stuart Greenbaum Comprehensive Cancer Center. You know, they're normally here with us.
There
so we
are,
do
yes.
partner with a lot of individuals within the community.
So let me turn to you, Janice, and go back to Sean. Tell us a bit about your walk in Macon. I'm curious, you know, who comes out? How did you get this organized? Talk a bit about what you do.
Thank you. I teach Zumba at my local church, and we do Zumba, but a lot of people actually can't, you know, do whatever the moves may be or what have you. It's a little bit upbeat, but, you know, you go at your own pace. But after, you know, learning about the walk when Ms. Ernestine had came down, I just didn't even have a plan. I said, you know what? She did this. She led a walk with us when she was here. And I just said it took about 5 months when she left. And I said, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and we're just going to start walking. I didn't even have a roadmap plan. I said, we're going to meet at this particular place. I drove it on my car to map it out, you know, did the miles on my car. And then I just said, next Monday, you guys, we're going to start walking. And I had about 40 to 60 ladies come out, and they just walked. And a lot of them who are on the heavier side was like, thank you so much. I can do this. And I thought it was interesting because they kept coming. We do it Mondays and Wednesdays. Right now, because it's cold, I went back to just Mondays only. But they said this is something that they're able to do. People from the neighborhood walking by, they're joining in with us. And I just thought it's so amazing because these people could have did this whether I had did it or not. But to know that I started it and it came and it branched from down there, and now they're just wanting to walk. I can't even. It's just a blessing in disguise, to be honest with you. And it's all in honor of Chauncey and Miss Ernestine.
We thank you, Janice. You know, we just we want to do everything we can to have people understand that you can take control of your health. You know, of course, you want to check with your medical professional before you start any type of exercise or movement program. But exercise and walking cost you absolutely nothing. Plus, it's great fellowship. One thing we tell individuals, Sean and Janice, about our walk is, even if you can't walk, we encourage them to come out and get a hug. This Saturday, Christmas Eve, at 7:30 a.m., we're going to have our 41st consecutive community health walk. And one of the other things we're doing is we're collecting donations of socks, scarves, hats, and gloves for those that are less fortunate, because every year Ma Ernestine and I, we usually put them in a nice beautiful package and we take them to some of the centers around or missions around the area. So we have an added bonus this year. It's Christmas Eve, so we're going to be able to take those donations as soon as we get them down to a couple of the missions. So we're looking forward to that.
That's good. And socks are often what's left off the list.
Socks are one of the most needed items, especially during this time of the year, for those that are less fortunate. So we are asking the community to please bring some socks out. And if you can't bring the socks or you're listening to us and you're not in Baltimore, just contact your local center down there in Florida with Sean. They may not need gloves and hats, but I'm sure they need something. So, you know, if you're down there in Florida and you're listening, just contact your mission or your shelter down there.
So, Sean, let me come back to you here. I'm really interested in the stuff you're doing, especially around healthy eating. And because, you know, I think people think it's really difficult to change the way we cook and what we eat, or how we eat, I should say. Because people have what you want to eat is up to you. I'm not going to, you know, people can be carnivorous, they can be omnivores, they can be vegans or vegetarians. It doesn't, I'm, you know, I'm an opportunarian when it comes to eating, but
I'm a meatitarian.
A meatitarian. But talk a bit about the about you know how kind of what it means to be able to kind of switch up, and really how not difficult it is.
Well, one of the things you want to do is you want to just focus on your body type, I think, and I know Chauncey does a great job of empowering people. We don't all look the same. We're not all built the same, and so everyone's body type is going to be a little bit different. And so I'm a guy that at 6'1", my playing weight was 200 pounds at 6'1" as a guard, which is actually kind of muscular and a bigger frame for today's standard of way most basketball players look. But I carried the weight very well because I have really broad shoulders.
Mm-hmm.
And so it just depends. So I never really got caught up in, you know, should I weigh 180 pounds or whatever that is. I mean, I just wanted to be strong and be athletic, you know, which is a certain level of comfort you get from just knowing your body type. And as far as eating, as we age, guys, you know, particularly African-American males, there are certain things that we just, you know, we can't eat some of those high-carb diets. We can't eat a lot of the simple sugars. You know, we can't eat a lot of the things that add the weight to the midsection and kind of cause us to lose muscle tone. You know, we shouldn't drink soda. You shouldn't eat potato chips. I read something years ago that over 40, you shouldn't eat potato chips.
Absolutely.
But, you know, I just try to make sure that, you know, I try to emphasize to some of the guys, just like I did in the children's book that I wrote with Sonny's Peach Cobbler. It's my grandma's recipe for peach cobbler, but I put a modern twist on it and removed some of the things that were slightly unhealthy and kind of upgraded them with healthier choices for the same result. So, you know, she always used fresh peaches, but she would can her own peaches, which is a lost art, and she would pull those canned peaches out in the middle of the winter and make a peach cobbler.
Right.
Well, the canned peaches are much higher quality that she would do herself than what Del Monte can do. They just can't touch it. But the recipe now only calls for fresh peaches. So it's seasonal in some regards because people don't can anymore. And so, you know, so that's one option. When you use the fresh peaches, it cuts down on the amount of sugar that's in a canned peach. And so that's just one example of how I've modernized the recipe as a part of incorporated part of the story. Actually have the recipe on the back cover of the book. So
I'll have to check that out and have you on. Just talk about that one day soon. I would like to do that.
Okay.
Oh,
I'd like to do that.
So, the name of the book again, Sean?
It's Sonny's Peach Cobbler.
Oh, okay.
And it's for ages 3 to 8. It's a great
sounds good. Sounds like good eating too.
Yeah, it is.
So I mean, you know, and I think that's really important. I think the role, I always think about the role of certain things that we've developed in our modern society over the last 400 or 500 years. Sugar, for one thing, refined sugar. What that really has done to our bodies and our brains as well, you know, the overuse of caffeine, even though I do like my coffee.
So do I.
The tobacco, all these things that kind of came to us in the last 400 or 500 years has really taken a toll on our bodies.
You know, it really has. And Sean mentioned that's very important to me about men of a certain age or just human beings at a certain age. We just have to understand as we age, we need to start changing our eating habits to be much more conducive for our aging process. You know, and it's really, really important. Very important.
So let's try to get a quick call in here before we have to talk about the city paper coming up this week and get people to make sure they come out Saturday morning. 410-319-8888. Brenda, welcome. You're on the air.
Good morning, Brenda.
Hi. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you so much. I have a quick question for you. I too am, you know, focused on my weight and focused on what I eat and exercise and that sort of thing. But listening to the conversation and thinking about my grandparents, you know, my grandmothers, both of them were actually heavy and loved to cook, the Southern cooking, and the way that they ate and the things that they made were a lot different. And again, high in fat and sugar and that sort of thing. So what is the difference? Now, they live to be in their 90s. So, I mean, what is the difference with our generations now? Is it the processed food? Is it the fact that we have so much more stress? You know, what is the difference now than it was back then?
Really good question.
Well, Brenda, I'm not sure what the difference is, but I'm just going to give you a guess, is that a lot of it is what you said. I believe that a lot of the foods aren't processed, just like what Sean was mentioning about his story about the Sonny's Peach Cobbler. People they don't can anymore. Some of the older people, my mother's age, and some of those individuals in their 80s, they got a good foundation of movement. I think would be a great study. I think that would be a good study to be funded to find out what is the difference, because some of the individuals back in those days, Big Mama and Big Daddy, Big Papa, they did eat a lot of foods that, you know, weren't the healthiest, but somehow they seemed to get 80 to 90 years out of life.
Well, part of it was because I think the difference is people did move more.
They moved, yeah.
You know, they didn't, people were not as sedentary as we are. People walked to get to one place to the other.
That's right.
Public transportation is what people used, or they walked, and it was, it's, we had more physical labor involved in our daily lives,
which leads us back to walking. Back to walking. By the time sometimes Big Mama became Big Mama, she had already been walking for 50 to 60 years. She has a good foundation. So you know, walking is the key. Walking is the key, and just moving.
Yep.
Excellent point. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you, Berlin. Happy holidays. Okay.
Same to you. Bye bye.
So Janice, I know you're one of those people who always keeps on moving, right?
Yes, I.
Yes, oh yeah, she's a little fire energy ball.
That was a good question that you said, and I think it was what you said, Chauncey. Big Mama had probably moved, and she had probably went and carried a lot of her food and brought it to the house, and
exactly.
You know, the transportation wasn't as back in those days. You know, even when I was younger, and I'm 45, I walk everywhere. Like, now I might drive, but even the kids to this day, you know, they don't know what it's like to get up and walk to the park, or, you know, as adults, they have to walk to wherever it was. So it is about, I think, a huge gap in the differences, just the moving alone and not being so comfortable, stagnant, and convenient with being in our vehicles. Get a bicycle, get up and walk to the corner store versus I'm going to jump in the car and run and grab something real quick. So I think that's a huge point, what you said about just moving and walking.
And that makes me think of Sean. Sean, when you were shooting ball back when you were a youngster, did you get dropped off at a lot of these different community parks to play, or did you ride your bike or walk with some of your boys?
Absolutely. It always involved walking.
Back to it.
We actually took pride in the fact that, you know, a mile or two was nothing. I mean, that was not uncommon to walk 2-3 miles to play and then walk 2-3 miles back.
You see that?
Right.
And I think a big part of from a cultural standpoint, you know, we don't really want to get into this on this show, but some of the choices and options that youth have today contributes to the sedentary lifestyle. We didn't have the phones. We didn't have the video games. We didn't have the convenience of, you know, everyone's parent has a brand new car. There's certain things, you know, my mom was not driving 2 miles, complained about gas price when it was 57 cents a gallon.
That's right. It was almost that whenever you went to play a sport or wherever you participate, it wasn't you got dropped off. You rode a bike or you walked to wherever practice was. We've taken that away where some young kids, I have some clients where their son absolutely refuses to go to practice if she doesn't drop him off.
That's
crazy. Like, really?
Right.
I mean, I just think back to, I said, it's like Sean said, you know, culturally and a lot of things have changed that have contributed to the sedentary lifestyle. And that's why we're doing what we're doing to try to change the mindset and just get people to get up and move. And as Sean has done with men of a certain age and just anyone, if you're going to cook, try to make some healthier choices and you still can make it tasty.
You know, and I think that... you know, when I think about what used to happen as well, and not that the old days were necessarily always better than what's happening today. I'm not getting into all that, but I mean, you didn't actually join teams. You just went outside and played and had pickup games.
Absolutely.
Yeah, right? Football at the holidays.
Right?
Absolutely.
I remember my cousins playing football outside during the holidays.
Right.
I can look outside this Thanksgiving and I don't think any kids were outside doing anything at all.
You know, Mark, I said this once before, is that, Sean, I think you could understand and relate to this, is that in the summertime, you did a triathlon every day. You didn't even realize it. You got up in the morning, you either walked or you ran to the park, you played basketball, you rode your bicycle to the swimming pool, you got in the pool, you swam, you went back home, slept, and you did it all over again. That was a typical 90-day summer. You know, you constantly rode your bike, played basketball, played football, played hopscotch, jump rope, whatever consists of physical activity at least 7 to 8 hours of the 10-hour day with the sun being up. That's how it used to be.
Right, right.
That's very true.
You know, and every day, I've said it, I did a triathlon just about every single day and did not realize it. And one thing for sure, it wasn't often that a parent dropped you off at an outdoor pool. That's just that was just unheard of. You rode your bike or you walked to the pool.
Right.
But now,
you walked home from school.
Absolutely, absolutely. That was all part of it. And you repeated it over and over again.
Yes.
So I want to go through this. Even though if you're coming to Macon, Georgia, tell us about your walk before I turn to the walk here in Baltimore.
We walk on Monday evenings at 6:30 in Houston Lake Road. It's on my Facebook page, Janice I Am Fitness Shepherd. We walk, and when it's getting dark, we know bring, you know, the night gear and what have you, but we do that, and we're just going to continue to do that until, you know, God sees different. But right now I'm really just trying to, we haven't gotten to 44 consecutive months, but we got a long way to go, but we're on our way.
You'll get there.
And Sean, we look forward to meeting you at one point and getting you up here to talk more about your book. I'm really looking forward to staying in touch with you about all that.
Okay, thanks. You know, Chauncey has my contact information. I look forward to it.
Yeah, me too. I really do look forward to it. We really do. And Chauncey, give us the lowdown on this Saturday.
This Christmas Eve, if you want to experience the experience of giving, come on out Christmas Eve, 7:30 a.m., Druid Hill Park, Baltimore, Maryland, at
the tennis courts.
By the tennis courts. We start at 7:30. We begin with hugs. We begin with hugs and we end with hugs. And we're also accepting donations of scarves, socks, hats, and gloves to be donated to individuals less fortunate than us. Mar Ernestine Shepherd, Guinness Book World Record, oldest female bodybuilder in the world, and I will be dropping them off to submissions and shelters later on Christmas Eve day. So we expect the community to come on out and support us.
That's really important. And it's the
41st consecutive month. We have not missed a month for 41 months in a row.
And almost all those months have been here on the Mark Steiner Show.
That's
talking
right.
about it.
That's right. We thank the Mark Steiner Show as our fitness and media partner. And we love it. WEEA.
So, folks, I want to thank you all. Sean Reed, I've been of a certain age. Great to have you with us. Looking forward to having you back. And Janice Shepherd, it's great to have you with us. We look forward to having you back as well. Maybe Chunch and I will make it down there for that walk to Macon, Georgia.
Oh, yeah. We need a good reason to go eat.
That's it. That's it. Thank you all. See you Saturday morning. And we're going to take a short break and come back with Joe Giordano to see what's happening.